We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama! What a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast. It is the tailgate. We are on the road with Sooner Softball in Austin. And boy, do we have a show for you today. We're going to learn about the Sooner Choice Awards, where you can start voting on the categories. The nominees are up. Jessica Cootie will give us some perspective on that. Plus, Jess was on the field on the sidelines Friday night at the spring game. We'll get some final thoughts from her on what we learned in the spring game. And then JT Gasso is coming up here in just a bit. We'll kind of talk hitting and what's really spurred this offense so far in 2019. But as I mentioned, as baseball is on the road in Minnesota for a big three-game series, which gets underway tonight. KJ Kindler is in the archives right now if you want to get hyped up for the Women's Gymnastics National Championship and the Men's Gymnastics National Championship, which we'll be going through the first phase here this afternoon and this evening. We've already started a championship mindset weekend in OU Athletics as the Oklahoma softball team won game one tonight, knocking off Texas by a final score of 3-1. Big blow, a two-run single by Cid Romero in the fourth inning. Kylie Lundberg with an RBI double in the seventh to help give the Sooners the pad they needed. It was just a special night for G. Juarez as Giselle improved to 17-0 on the season, a complete game five-hitter with 10 strikeouts. As Oklahoma has now won 35 straight Big 12 games. They've won 29 straight overall. They're the number one team in the country, and they improved to 39-2 on the season. They're 10-0 in Big 12 play. Well, right before we left for this Texas series, I had a chance to sit down and talk hitting, talk about some of the youngsters, and talk a little bit about this series with Sooner hitting coach JT Gasso. And we started by asking about kind of the adjustment in preparation that has taken place. JT doesn't really have a JT Gasso hitting philosophy, but he's constantly evaluated and reevaluated the way that he kind of prepares his hitter and the hitters and the different drills they go through. And we just started with a little conversation about some new drills he's introduced in 2019.
That's kind of one thing that's kind of been instilled into me is you always want to learn. You're always trying to find out if what you're doing is right. And I try and hold myself accountable to kind of just mechanics of the stuff, the way you're supposed to move and whatnot, but yeah, I think the one thing that is so great right now, and I think everyone's just in baseball, softball, just in sport in general, the technology and the science that's out there, it speaks volumes. And if you're going to have a certain, philosophy I had to make sure that what we were doing was right. So, just kind of, it can either, verify the things that you're saying, or it can make you maybe reconsider some things. So I think for us, it's just in the fall, you kind of get them moving right and get them strong and just kind of put them in a good position to hit and kind of learn the game, help the freshmen and the still the underclassmen, the sophomores, continue to learn the game. But right now it's just about, you know, hitting the ball hard, figuring out what the pitcher's doing, figure out how you're going to hit what they're pitching hard, and just kind of go from there and just continue to adjust. So I think that's one thing our team has taken just from a hitting side is learning. And we've had conversations about the swing, pitches, how to hit different pitches and speeds and whatnot. So it's really been fun. And I think it just kind of gets everyone involved.
How do you avoid then? Because maybe this is a little bit too inside baseball, if you will. But with the new flight scope, which is kind of their way to track pitches and better understand velocity, and I know that it's not only a hitter's tool, but obviously maybe even more so, JT, a pitcher's tool. And with all the video that you have, how do you avoid paralysis by analysis? Because, my man, I could sit there and I could watch flight scope more than I can find myself watching the game. You know, I could be sitting there watching that iPad at miles per hour to like a tenth and then velocity off the bat. How do you avoid not getting too caught up in the numbers?
So, for me, I can be there's no such thing as a teacher to be paralyzed by the data. Just because I think if you know what you're looking for and you know kind of the trends and whatnot, it can better help me or help the teacher kind of direct practice. So one thing that I won't do is sit down and say and show them numbers. And I think the reason is because if I'm sitting down and I'm away from the batter's box and I'm just looking at a bunch of numbers, it's going to take a lot for me to kind of put it all into like an application. So like, for example, if I'm sitting down and I look at, okay, my average launch angle on a 60 mile an hour pitch is, you know, let's say 15 degrees. And we say, okay, hey, as a teacher, I would know we want that ball to be a little bit higher. But if I'm a hitter, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to increase our launch angle on this next pitch by 5 degrees. Like that's not really realistic. So for us, what we try and do is try and make it to where you have like a external cue, meaning, okay, if I know I need to stop hitting the ball on the ground or lower, okay, let's try and hit a fly ball to center field because the ball's tailing down or, you know, whatever the case is. So for me, I use it to kind of direct where each player is going, each hitter. And we don't really, I don't like just bog them down with data, because exactly what you said, I don't want them to just go up there thinking too much. It should be a natural reaction. If we've done it enough, they should know how to attack different styles of pitching.
And I loved your point, man. From your research perspective, there's no such thing as paralysis analysis. It's then how, by analysis, I guess I should say, it's then how you implement it that makes all the difference. Boy, big analytics guy here, this Chris Plank, JT Gas, so I'm just laying it out for you. Hey, I want to talk about some of the youngsters, because I do feel like we spend a lot of time talking about the seniors, and understandably so, and even, you know, what Joss has been able to do in a short time. But I don't know if we can say enough about Grace Green and how she's developed, because there was a stretch there, I think it was right before the BYU game, where she had maybe 0 for 11 or 0 for 12 or something like that. But, JT, she's just seemed to find another level since that home game against BYU. What have you seen click in the freshman Grace Green?
Well, I don't know if I've seen it click per se, but what I've seen is just her mental state has stayed consistent throughout the entire season. She doesn't get too hyped up. Well, actually, at the very beginning of the year, she got too hyped up, but she doesn't get down on herself. And that's one of the things that we talk about as an offense, is just having the mentality to go to be in the box. When you're in the box, you're there to compete. You're not there to think or feel sorry for yourself. So she just doesn't do that at all, which is really impressive for a freshman, because you go from high school season or even summer ball or your travel ball season, and you're hitting like 500-600. You know, your slugging percentage is like 1,200-1,300. So it's like that kind of performance is normal. And then to go to a setting to where now it's like, all right, now you're hitting 300 with your, and your slugging percentage is in the 700s, 800s. Like, that's not, even though that's really good, that's not what you're used to. So we've kind of helped her, or I mean, she's the one ultimately doing it, but redefine what success is. And success is quality at bats, hitting the ball hard, and just competing. And she's done that. And I think what you're seeing is just her sticking with her process and just becoming a complete hitter. And I'm kind of trying to understand that as she goes.
And then, you know, Grace Lyons is one of two players who have started every single game, her and Sid, on that left side of the infield. And I know for Grace, she had the great start, hit a couple of, more than a couple, I think she's up to 6-7 home runs now. I know she's kind of been up and down a little bit, JT, expected from a freshman, but man, she hits the ball hard. Whenever it comes off her bat, it comes off with authority. What's the key for her to become more consistent, you think? Time?
Yeah, and it's just a different – I do think it's just more – the more experience she gets, the more you're going to see her develop. That's what – for her, what's going to click, because this style of pitching is literally nothing like they've seen before. And it's every day. It's every game you're facing an ace. Every game you're facing somebody's best. So it's – she's just understanding, you know – Like I said with Grace Green, the sticking with the process, staying at a high level mindset, competing, and just staying with it, just sticking with it. So I think that experience, and especially as we get towards the last stretch of our season, you're going to see her just. I think you're going to see her just raise it to another level.
JT, real quick before I start talking about Texas and I get you out of here, because I know you got a bus to catch, but. What have we seen an improvement in Oklahoma high school softball? Because, again, you look at this freshman class, there's Audra LaValle, Sammy Skelly. There's a good Oklahoma impact on it. You look at next year's recruiting class, there's a solid Oklahoma impact on it. And obviously with names like CC and Reagan Rogers and Aaron Miller and Katie Self that came before them, are we starting to see, I don't want to say a rebirth, but an uptick in what we're seeing Division I capable-wise out of the state?
You know what? I think just across the entire country, you're seeing the players getting bigger, faster, stronger. Plank, everyone asks me these questions. I think you have to have, 10, 15 years experience doing it, which I don't.
That's true.
You know, it's like a revival. I don't know. I haven't been doing it that long to see, but I know when I was, in those 2000s teams, you had players like Ashley Barrett, Jennifer Stewart, Manny Fulton. You had Lakeisha Washington. You had 4 or 5 players who were, high level All Americans. They were all on one team, all in the same class. So I think you have stretches, and this isn't just, in Oklahoma, but I think it's everywhere, where you have a really good class or you have really good players kind of sprinkled in, and every now and then you'll have wow, this class had a lot of good players in this. So and kind of with the way the recruiting's been working out, we've been able to snag those high level, top level Oklahoma kids, and Sammy, Audrey, they're all competing. Kinsey as well, Kelso. So I think it's just across the board, you've been seeing them get better as we've been with technology and training and whatnot. So
got Texas coming up this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. Obviously, Miranda Ellis, which surprisingly, even though we played Oregon the last couple of years, we only saw her for an inning and a third 2 years ago in the College World Series, and they obviously have some pretty impressive freshman pitchers. JT, as you broke down the tape, as you prepared your hitters, what have you seen from this Texas staff?
You see a lot of fire, competitiveness. So I know with Ellis, the way she throws, she can throw to all quadrants. She can throw different speeds. So Her ball moves a lot, so that's going to be tough. But and as well as O'Leary, the freshman, having a really good season as well. So they throw hard, and they can throw to both sides of the plate. They can throw up and down. And then Bollinger, the returner, their lefty, has some big time curve on her pitches as well. So it'll be a tough matchup. So it's just about, for us, you know, sticking with what we're doing and executing at a high level. So they're not going to give away a lot, meaning like walk, hit by pitches, and they're going to just attack the zone, attack hitter. So if we can, just stay within ourselves and just do what we've been doing, I think we'll have a good chance.
It's been a great start to the series here in Austin. The 3-1 win tonight. Sooners back at it tonight. I keep saying tonight. As we tape this, it's late on Thursday night. They'll be back at it on Friday night, 6 p.m., and then we'll wrap up the series on Saturday at 1 p.m., Oklahoma and Texas. It doesn't get much bigger than this. And then the final leg, I guess, of this 11-game road trip comes to a conclusion next week when the Sooners play their midweek game against Wichita, and then they square off against Iowa State up in Ames. Sooner baseball's on the road. Cade Cavalli will get the ball tonight. 6:30 first pitch as they travel to Minnesota to take on the Gophers. 6:30 tonight, 2 o'clock on Saturday, and 11 a.m. on Sunday. How about this? This is a really cool note. Saturday's game will be played at the Target Field, which is the home of the Minnesota Twins. The Friday and Sunday games will be played on campus at Seibert Field. So big weekend for baseball. And listen, if I'm pretty hyped for where OU men's and women's gymnastics are right now. But, you know, I can't urge you enough, if you're in Norman, to get to Fort Worth to celebrate with the women's gymnastics team and root them on to another potential national championship. If you're in the Illinois area and you listen to this, it's Champaign, Illinois for the men's national championship as they look for their fifth straight championship. So everything gets underway in gymnastics, both men and women, this afternoon. So women's gymnastics, the semifinals will start at 6 p.m. tonight in semifinal number 2. And on the men's gymnastics side, it will be 7 p.m. So 6 p.m. for the women, 7 p.m. for the men. Well, let's wrap things up talking a little bit about the spring game from Friday night. But before we do that, as Jessica Cootie joins us, Jess, you got a lot going on with the Sooner Choice Awards. We don't get a chance to talk about it very much, but kind of take me through your role and how you're involved in the Sooner Choice Awards.
I'm putting together my typical videos that I kind of help out with this year, so that's what I'm kind of trying to get all knocked out before. I'm actually going to go down to Austin this weekend to be a fan of Oklahoma softball.
Did you have to go through StubHub and pay $350 for tickets? Are you just going to sit with me?
You can hang out in the outfield out there. So
there you go.
That's what we're going with.
Hey, how cool is that though? For softball to see numbers like that out there for a series.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. And, you know, I think Patty Gass will be the first to tell you that I think it's good that the Big 12 Conference and that Texas has kind of gotten back to where they are. And, you know, you'd like to see a couple more teams because, like, we've seen year in and year out, you know, it's just, sometimes when you some of the teams in the Big 12, it hurts your RPI. So that's why
right. You
got to really, really crank up the schedule in the in what non-conference. And so I think everybody is excited that you know Texas is back. You know we'll see how back they are this weekend. But just to get them back in the mix and you know hopefully get a couple more teams going as well.
We got JT Gasso coming up at the bottom of the hour, so we'll talk more softball then. But I know there's still a little time before it, and obviously getting to work with Tori Nerschel, I realize the investment that's put into this. But maybe for those that aren't familiar, the Sooner Choice Awards have kind of become the student-athletes version of what, almost the ESPYs, right?
Right, yep. Kind of, there's a lot of different awards and, you know, everything from moment of the year. So I think the nominees are out. I don't think I have them pulled up.
I'll
but
look.
Some of the nominees, for example, I think are like. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick so I can let you guys know what some of the nominees are, because I think that's always kind of neat to see who all is nominated, and then you can kind of make your own judgments. But the certain categories are
like Breakthrough Athlete of the Year. Breakthrough Athlete of the Year is up. Hey, how about Christian Doolittle being on that list? And by the way, also because there's a male and female, but Curtis Bolton being on the Breakthrough Athlete of the Year. I like that.
Yeah, so you've got Moment of the Year, which is, Yoel Muldaur, and we got Trey Brown, Kyler Murray. So Trey Brown and Kyler Murray both are from the Big 12 championship game. So you got Trey Brown's, obviously, safety, and then Kyler Murray's touchdown pass to Grant Calcaterra. Male newcomer, Kennedy Brooks, Levi Prater, Jamal Bienemy. That's a great category. Female newcomer, Olivia Troutman, Taylor Robertson, Keaton Kenley. Male breakthrough, Quade Common, Christian Doolittle, Curtis Bolton. Female breakthrough, Ana Yanuza, Mariah Lopez, Caitlin Milligan. So, I mean, I could run through this whole list. Oh, I guess I'm almost done. Male athlete, Kyler, Yule, Alex Bakshi. Female is Maggie Nichols, Sydney Romero, Keely Dow, Alyssa Inna King. You've got the Perseverance Award, which is what I'm kind of working on, athletes that have kind of a behind-the-scenes story that they've really had to persevere through. You've got the Future Sooner, Team of the Year, so men's gym, football, men's golf, softball. And what's cool is, the student-athletes have all kind of really, they've gotten more and more involved as we've gone along. This is year four. So, people have started to kind of really jump in and vote. What I like about this list is, you got a lot of different sports represented, and, even despite the tough year of women's basketball, you can see the excitement towards it and the appreciation for the young talent. The fact that, that you've got a lot of those players on this list where in the past, past couple of years, we didn't see a lot of those women's basketball players kind of represented, and then men's basketball as well, to have them have quite a few on there. And you're just seeing a lot of different sports kind of represented, men's golf, women's golf as well. I think that's what's neat is that now it's kind of really kind of getting spread out, and you're seeing a lot of different sports represented. And it just goes to show what kind of year Oklahoma's already had.
And again, you can actually vote on Twitter. Just simply search Sooner Choice Awards, and there's a link at SoonerSports.com with all kinds of information. So it's an exciting time. It's coming up on Monday, April 22nd, and it's for the student athletes only. And Jess was showing off her hosting chops last year, doing red carpet interviews. I mean, this has become kind of a big time event for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of got called in last minute last year, so let's not act like I was first choice. I got a call from the bullpen. I emceed it last year, and it's kind of a secret on who will do it this year, so don't want to ruin that, but they just kind of like to keep some of the things, because, I mean, it's cool, and it's cool for fans, but, let's face it, this is for the student-athletes, and so, we don't want to ruin it and talk about a lot of the things and some of the surprises that they have lined up, because this is all about them, and it's their night, and so... some of the things that are lined up, we kind of keep it a surprise for them. So it should be fun.
Okay.
It's growing, and it's, becoming a bigger and bigger deal every year. So I'll be excited to see where it goes this year.
Now, Jess, for you and I, it probably involved going back a bit, because I know you were busy like crazy getting interviews and talking to as many people as you possibly could. I kind of felt the same way. I was going back and forth between sidelines trying to talk to people. And then the next thing I know, the game is over. So I don't know how much you were able to take from Friday night, but I know it was kind of tough for me to really, truly get a gauge on things with how busy we seemed to be down there and how quickly things went.
Yeah, I didn't watch hardly anything, let's face it. I mean, it's wild, and there's a lot going on, and, you're just trying to get what you need for the broadcast. So, Yeah, I and then, you know, we bank interviews for future things. So, yeah, I was not able to take in a whole lot. So, you know, just but talking with some people and kind of hearing from, you know, after I did some interviews and stuff, seems like, you know, the big thing was that they were obviously even more depleted than they even started with in the secondary. A couple of the guys went down. I was actually at practice when it had happened. And so, they had pulled – you know, guys like Patrick Fields. So, unfortunately, none of my predictions came true because of injuries. But, right. You know, I think, you know, we didn't get to see him. We didn't get to see some of those other guys. But, you know, I don't know how much when I talked to Alex Grinch, you know, again, that's what they said. You're not going to see a lot anyways. But certainly I think that Jalen Hurts looked like he was a guy that's comfortable in that situation. You know, he's played in front of big crowds and kind of knows what's kind of how to handle those types of situations. I think, you know, one of the reasons that you have those spring games is to let guys like Tanner Mordecai get a feel for it. So while I think a lot of people were kind of obviously making a big deal about Jalen and what he did, which certainly he was impressive. You know, I think you got to remember that the reason why they have a spring game, a lot of it is to give some of those younger players a chance, a feel at a game like feel before they get actually into a real game. And so, you know, I think, you know, when I talked to Tanner and he was kind of disappointed, he felt like, you know, it wasn't exactly what he had hoped for. And it wasn't what he had been doing in practices throughout spring ball. But, you know, Coach Riley talked about how he responded and he settled in and he had a good first drive, but then had a maybe not as great couple of next drives, but then settled in and kind of got back to kind of composure and the poise that they had kind of been seeing from him in practice. So, yeah, I mean, I think quarterbacks, as far as that's what we saw that one day, but it's not what maybe you've been seeing every single day at practice. I don't know, you know. So, again, that's what he kept, you know, just stressing is that this is one day out of the 15 practices. So, you know, while we all want to jump to conclusions and stuff after what we saw in the spring game, it is just one time, and they're going to evaluate that in the same way that they evaluate some of the other things that they've done throughout the spring. So, yeah, I other than that, I think obviously what I've kind of been saying throughout the spring is that they're not short on guys catching the football and playmakers and, you know, the options that they have to spread the ball around to. I think, you know, still trying to come along with the offensive line, and as Coach Riley talked about how they didn't run the ball as well as they'd like to. But again, you're also not seeing Trey Sermon go full speed. You don't have some of those guys back going full speed, so it's hard to get a full gather of what it's going to be and what the team's going to be off of that one practice. But I think certainly, you know, as Coach Riley said, a lot of positives to take away.
I think that's one thing too, Jess, that needs to be harped on quite a bit, and I understand, trust me, because it was the first time I had a chance to see him. I didn't go to practices, but it is still a practice, you know, and was it a scrimmage? You bet. Was it fun to have all the promotions and the job the marketing team did around it? You bet. But it's a practice, so you can't make these wide sweeping assessments just based on what you saw in one public scrimmage. So because I saw
a very
fans that
vanilla
were getting
mad. Practice at that. Like, even what you're seeing in the spring game is not what they're doing on a day-to-day basis in practice.
You're right. Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. It's a glorified practice, and don't get too mad about anything, I guess, more than anything else. I will say this, Jess. I thought it was really cool, and I watched your interview with Kyler and what we talked to Orlando Brown, I think, what CeeDee Lamb. Well, I was Didi, sorry. I love seeing the former players come back for this because, to me, that really adds a lot of extra oomph to an event like this. And I would imagine, too, especially from a recruiting side.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them would have come back, but a lot of them are in OTAs as well. So, you know, guys like Joe Mixon, I know, was hoping to come, and Jordan Evans, but they've already had to report. For the Bengals, and I think Marquise Brown has a workout or something. So there's a lot of guys that would have been here, and that's what's kind of what I think is neat, is that it's not like they're, you know, not choosing to come. They would have been here if they could have, you know, and so the fact that you're seeing such a great turnout, And I talked to Coach Riley about that on Spotlight the other day, just the fact that a lot of these guys didn't even play for him, and the fact that, you know, it's so important for them to come back and show their support. I mean, I think it's awesome. I think it speaks volumes as to, you know, this program and what it means to be former players. And you know, and you hear a lot of these coaches come in that are new coaches, or even, you know, some of the players, and oh, it's a family atmosphere. And you hear a lot of people say that, but it actually truly is. And they truly believe that, and they are all in on supporting this program in any way they can. And, you know, it shows by the guys that come back every year. And even with change, the game time change and everything else that kind of went along with it, that kind of, you know, maybe had some setbacks, the way that they are still showing out. And behind the scenes, what you don't see, like, yes, they came to the spring game, but how much time they spent with the recruits, you know, and how all in they are in bringing in these next great Sooners. And boy, they sell it as well as anybody, and they kind of rely on them too as well. And so, you know, the recruits, it's big for them to see those guys come in and how much they're invested, and then to hear kind of their success stories from being here. So it goes far beyond just seeing them kind of stand on the sideline during the spring game. I mean, they're invested all day, all weekend in trying to make sure that they're doing their part in the recruiting process as well.
Great stuff, Jess. We will talk to you next Wednesday. Enjoy the trip to Austin, and then what, a little sidetrack on the way home to swing by and watch the national championships for gymnastics in Fort Worth, right?
Yes, and I think also I might be working on going to the draft next Thursday as well, so I'll keep you posted on that.
Big weekend. Could have two more national championship banners to hang after this weekend, and the Sooners could put an absolute lock in a lot of ways on another push for the Big 12 championship in softball and really get back on track with baseball. You can get all the latest information online at Soonersports.com. And, hey, make sure you give us a follow on Twitter, at OU on the air. For JT Gasso and Jessica Cootie, I'm Chris Plank, signing off from Austin. And until Tuesday's edition of The Game Plan, have a great week and enjoy Sooner Athletics. And Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU on the air.